I'm Kim Young Cho from Polsec. It's a university in South Korea. And today I'm going to talk about the physics of the conducting honeycomb charge density wave networks. And this work is based on the two papers. The first one is with the STM experimentalist in my university, Hanung. And the second one is about the theory. And so in short summary, we are going to see that the conducting honeycomb charge density network will support the stable flat bands, which sounds a little bit weird because flat bands, you do not expect it to be stable. I'm going to explain in which sense it's stable, and superconductivity and topological band structures out of this network. So it's going to be a very simple, short talk. And if you have any questions, you can stop me and ask me about the, anything you are you want to know. So the motivation is following. So it seems like that there are a lot of experimental materials which realize the honeycomb network, meaning that there is electrons which are flowing along the like one-dimensional directions, and the one-dimensional wires are connecting each other through the junctions and forming the like honeycomb superstructures. And these are seen in the, for example, the nearly commensurate charge density wave states of the 1T tantalum disulfide, which is actually famous for the spin-liquid material. Or there is examples with the helium atoms, like helium-3 and helium-4 mixtures absorbed on the graphite. And there are like known as the ARPA graphene or some cousins of that, which is kind of like organic compounds, which realize these kind of superstructures too. And actually, you can tune these structures in the graphene with the like parent dielectric gatings, and you can construct such network by artificial systems. And this is look very similar to the triangular network in the twisted bilayer graphene. We'd like to ask like when I have these structures, what's kind of like implications of these structures? And what I'm going to show you is that this network will realize the stable flat bands, which is protected by symmetries and localities when you restrict yourself to the quadratic Hamiltonian. And you are going to see that this one naturally gives rise to the enhanced TC of the superconductivity. And you can kind of tell a little bit about the pairing symmetries. And there will be a topological state, for example, like high order, second order, topological insulators, which realize the corner states. Okay, so let me start with the simple brief introductions about the experimental materials which realize this network. So what I'm going to tell you is that there are like 1T tantalum disulfide and titanium diselenide, which are the charge density wave materials, which realize the superconductivity too. And we are going to see that they realize the honeycomb network. And there are like a more famous one, twisted bilayer graphene, which realized the triangular network but the network is realized by the structural deformations. Here, the network is more like a self-organized. And there is also helium on the graphite, which forms like dense wave-like structures, and then it's going to self-organize into the honeycomb networks.
The helium 3 on the
they are going to electrons. You are going to see the picture. Yes, yeah, you are right. It's not the electronic system, it's more like other questions. So actually the talk will be can be really short. It could finish in 30 minutes if you do not have any questions. So, so anyway, let me go on. I hope it's okay, right? Yeah. You like shorter talk, right? Yeah. So let me give you a very brief review about the 1T tantalum disulfide. And this is kind of like one of the most famous charge density wave materials. So this material at the highest temperatures, the tantalum atoms realize the like triangular lattice. But what's happening at the lowest temperature is that the 13 tantalum atoms get together and they're forming the so-called David star. And this pattern is known as the like Lute-13 orders. So for example, at the lowest temperatures, these perfect patterns completely cover the 2D plane. So you have these perfect patterns of the charge density wave states. And so this one actually is expected to be metal because you have one dangling electrons in the system. But in the transport data, if you look at the data, at the lowest temperatures, it shoots up, meaning that it's an insulator. And so this insulator is expected to be multi-insulator, and some people suggest it's a spin liquid, but I'm not going to get into there. And what you see is that at the high temperature, it's quite metallic, and there are like successive transitions to the nearly commercial charges in wave states, which I'm going to explain a little bit more. And then at the lowest temperature, you get into the perfect orderings. So what you see is that at the lowest temperatures, you have a perfect ordering, and at the highest temperature, you effectively have no ordering. So you can ask like what's happening in the middle. So actually what you can show is that in the middle, instead of directly coming from here to here, you actually have an intermediate states where you have domains which inside you have kind of like very well ordered the commensurate chargeless wave states. And in the middle, you come across with the domain verse. Okay, so it's not directly jumping from here to here, but you go through the intermediate states where you partially lose the order through the domain verse. And here the bright dots are the center of the David stars. So this is the phase diagram of the temperatures, but you can ask like what's happening if I tune other parameters in the experiments. So for example, if I have a temperature and pressure, so you have perfect ordering here, and then if you increase it, you get into the nearly commensurate chargeless wave state. Or you can pressurize a sample, then you will see that this perfect David star ordering is suppressed, and then you are getting into the nearly commensurate chargeless wave states again, where you have kind of networks of the domain verse. And you can also do the like dopings by putting the iron atoms into the systems where you lose the perfect ordering again and then getting into the nearly commensurate chargeless wave states. Or you can do the gating where you again lose the commensurate chargeless wave states and you have a nearly commensurate chargeless wave in between the metallic states and the insulator states. What you see is that there is kind of like superconductivity showing up in the middle. And then sometimes they are perfectly inside the nearly commensurate order. Or they are their TC seems to be highest inside the nearly commensurate orders. So what you notice here is that it looks like they are strongly bound to each other. And this is not the only material which shows such behavior. There is another one called as the 1T titanium diselenide. It's also a chargeless wave state, but the TC is a little bit lower, like it's like 200 Kelvin, something like that. And then in this sample, what people did is you put into the titanium diselenide and then you gate it. And what you see is that you get into the state where you have locally losing the orders, which is penetrated by the domain verse. And then you get into the superconductivity again. So originally they saw it's a like triangular lattice of the domains, but actually later they figured out it's honeycomb. And what they did is that they look at the magnetotransport experiment in this state. So what you do is you have a sample and apply the magnetic field and then look at the resistivity. Then you see there is like small wigglings. And that's coming from the around the foam phase where the Cooper pair goes around. So what you see is that in this state, at least within the Landau-Ginzburg theory, what you can show is that the superconductivity seems to be maximized along the honeycomb network. And these are zero where the chargeless wave states are maximized. Any questions?
So what is the scale?
This one, length scale. I forget how big it is, but it's much bigger than the tantalum disulfide. Maybe I can find it later for you. Yeah.
Sorry, is that panel data or some reconstruction?
This one?
No, the upper right.
This one?
Yeah.
Is it?
Like, is this some like STM?
No. This one is not the data. This one is Landau-Ginzburg theory calculations. Yeah. It's hard to see, like, because it has like it's gated, so you put something on top, so it's hard to see the structure explicitly. But from the chargeless wave orders, you can kind of guess what's going to happen in this region. for the chargeless wave or the parameters. And what they've...
Jevons Bagnano theory involving superconducting order parameter and charging.
Right.
Coupled on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, and you tune the parameter by hand instead of deriving. Yes.
Where is it? Ordinary S-wave?
Nobody knows. Some people may know, but I do not know. Yeah.
But there's a theoretical prediction that it's P plus N.
I do not know. Yeah. 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 I as far as I, you said you're experimentalist, right? So you probably know what's the pairing.
What's that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. As far as I know, there are some suggestions about the pairing channels, but I'm not sure if it's confirmed or not. So let me not touch that. Okay. So, from the very small number of data that I showed you, what you can already guess is that there seems to be some relationship between the newly commercial chargeless wave states and the superconductivity. And you may ask, like, if there is any like positive feedbacks or like what causes this superconductivity and so on. And like Chong's questions, what's the like pairing symmetry, right? And this is kind of like this question seems to be natural to ask because what you naively expect is that the charge sense wave states and the superconductivity compete each other, right? Because they compete each other to take more the density of states over the Fermi surface, right? So what that means is that you don't expect them to coexist. But what seems to happening here is that they seem to coexist happily each other next to each other, right? So that's the questions. And for your information, I would like to say that there are other materials which seem to support the similar network. For example, the twisted bilayer graphene at the very small angle, not at the magic angle, you have a very well organized triangular network, which certain part of it seems to survive at the magic angles, which gives rise very interesting phase diagrams. And there is also like helium atoms absorbed on the graphite, which at certain filling of the helium atoms per graphene per graphite unit cells, you seem to have the like this kind of like honeycomb superstructures, where the rest of the atoms beyond the filling these patterns seems to flow along these domains. Okay, so it looks like you also have other systems which realize this honeycomb network. Yes.
Sorry, what you say about the helium on graphite?
So let's say, so you see these phase survives for the broad range of the filling, right? So you can ask like, what's happening if the filling is like that?
Mm-hmm.
And these will like, certain part of it will fill up this pattern and the rest of them will flow along this domain verse. Right. So that should give rise to some network physics where you see in the electronic system.
Like all the natural way helium absorbs in that particular pattern or that.
Could you repeat again? Sorry.
Of its own natural manner, the helium absorbs in that particular pattern or that.
Do
you give some, I don't know, some field or some?
I think these are. Okay, so I'm not really expert about this, but what I know is that in the like Monte Carlo calculations, people did some calculations and they found that's the like patterns you got. So yeah. Any other questions? Yeah. I know Roger did some calculation on the helium fluids. Do you know any?
No.
Okay. You didn't put the graphite there. Okay. Yeah. Okay, and before getting into the main context, I would like to give you some random questions about these systems. So actually what we are usually familiar with is the this kind of like stripe patterns where the one-dimensional wires are stacked to each other in a parallel way. And what we are seeing is that we have kind of like honeycomb network where the electrons are flowing along the honeycomb superstructures, which seem to have the different connectivity. And what's known is that this kind of like stripe patterns There is a very interesting phenomena known as the dimensional crossover from the Luttinger liquid to the Fermi liquid, which is determined by the interwire electron hoppings. And you see, this honeycomb network seems to have a much weaker connectivity than this one, because this one, electrons can hop between the wires or along the wires, but here you have only the hoppings only at the like end of the wires. So you can ask like, do I expect to see the like crossovers and what kind of like behaviors you expect for the dimensional crossover? And do I see any strange state in the middle and so on? And you can also ask like what kind of like collective excitations I would expect from this one, which could be different from that, or do I expect anything interesting like emergent phases and phase diagrams about that and so on. So I'm not going to answer all these questions, but I'm going to touch a little bit about that. So let's get to the model, which is strongly motivated by the experimental data on the 1T tantalum disulfide. So this is the experimental input. So this one is the STM data. So as I said, in the tantalum disulfide, in the middle phase, which is called nearly commercial phase, you have well ordered domains. Each domain has like length scale like 70 angstrom to 80 angstrom. And this one in the middle is metallic. The way to see is that, let's say I cut the system along this line. So I cross the domain worth. Then this is the, I think, experimental data, and this is the reproduced DFT data. And what you see is that they are the DFT data, DFT calculation seems to reproduce the STM data very well. And from the DFT calculation and STM data, you can ask like where the metallic states live. And what you can see is that the states in the between like zero electric volt between and 0.2 electric volt, the wave functions tend to localize heavily in the domain worth size. And the total density of states, if we calculate the DFT, then within the domains, you have no states. But with the domain worth, you seem to have some states in the middle. And they tend to be localized here. Okay, so that's the mixture of this. That's the mixed data of the DFT and STM. But what I'm trying to say is that the metallic states seem to live along the domain earth. So it seems to make sense for this state to the good approximations that I can treat this system as the insulators and the 1D metals are living in between. Okay. And you can ask how big these kind of patterns survive, right? Because you don't expect it to survive too long. And what we saw, at least in our experiment, is that this kind of pattern survives for like at least 50 nanometers times 50 nanometers, which seems to be pretty big. Any questions? So we now ask theoretical questions. What do we know about this state? So first, I'm going to say that there will be a cascade of flat bands in these systems. And generally, we expect the flat bands is hard to realize, because if I want to realize flat band, what you have is that energy, when you expand it in terms of k, you need to tune like parameters, which is proportional to the k, k squared, k cubic, and so on. So that means that you need to tune a lot of parameters to access the flat band.
What is k?
That's momentum. And that means that it's even if you success in realizing a flat band, it's natural to expect it's quite fragile. For example, in the Kagome lattice, as soon as you add like second nearest neighbor, you seem to lose the flat bands, right? Because the flat bands you originally had only with the nearest neighbor, when you add the second nearest neighbor, it becomes dispersive. And we find that there are many stable flat bands in this system, and then I'm going to identify the origins of this behavior. So let's first regularize this system by that. Yeah.
So in the previous slide.
Yeah.
So like, why does Kagome with second nearest neighbors, why do flat bands stop existing?
you are going to see soon, but you can put into the computer and see the spectrum, then it's just dispersive.
So without next neighbor's term, there's a perfect interference.
Yeah. And the similar physics appears here, but in a kind of non-trivial way. So yeah, at least kind of non-trivial to me. Yes. Yep.
Are you assuming that it's perfectly 2D here?
Yes.
In these models?
Yes.
So you're neglecting kind of any interlayer coupling?
Yes. Yeah, I know that's kind of like important issue about this material, but I'm going to, yeah. For example, if you look at the conductivity, resistivity in layer and out of layers, they are different by like 500 times different. So, for example, superconducting TCs seems to be very insensitive to the like number of layers in the same film limit. And that means maybe, at least for the superconductivity that I'm going to talk about, the 2D needs is enough, right? Yeah. Other questions? Okay. So let's do the lattice regularizations of these network systems where I put the lattice sites like that. So I essentially put the lattice sites along the one-dimensional wires. For example, here I just put the four. Okay? And I'm going to keep the degrees of freedoms in the domain side too. And for the first, let me forget about this inflating site and then keep the domain first and look at the spectrum. So this is what you see. So you see this is the energies. And you see that there are like one flip end, two flip end, and three flip ends. And if you put the experimented numbers, then the difference between the flip bands are roughly like 30 millivolts. And you can ask what's happening if I add like second nearest neighbor and third nearest neighbor and fourth nearest neighbor. And I think fifth is okay in this network. And ask like what's the band spectrums? You will see essentially the same spectrum where the flip band is still there. Okay? Which is already very non-trivial, I think. And then further, you can put back the degrees of freedoms inside the insulating domains. Okay, let me put them back where I have insulating bands, and then I allow the electrons to hop between the domainverse and the domains. Okay, what you see is that in between the bulk insulating gap, you still have the very dispersionless flat band. And so this one, if you think of the perturbative way that, let's say, I integrate out the domain size, then this one essentially includes all the possible local symmetric perturbations to the networks. But what you see is that even with that, the flat bands seem to be there. And actually, you can include the large Schwarzschild-Spinoff couplings into the this system, but you can still see that the flat band is there. Okay. Any questions?
So yeah, flat band at the Fermi level is important.
Yeah, I didn't talk about any many-body physics here. So yeah, you are right. The chemical potential is important, but let's understand the quadratic level first. Yeah.
So when you say you add further neighbor hopping,
right?
You're assuming the hopping range is much smaller than the
right. Latitude. You are going to see that. So it looks like people already guess what's going on here. So let me show you why they are so stable. So if you look at the flat band state, let's say I take some state in the flat bands, then what you see is that the wave functions the wave functions have nodes at the nodal point. Okay, so wave function has zeros, so that means that the wave functions have the standing wave solutions per each link, okay? And these wave functions is essentially it's constant of the standing waves with some sign structures like plus one, minus one, plus one, minus one, like the Kalman lattice. And that means that if this state wants to hop from to here, meaning that if it wants to get the dispersions, what it can do is it should hop by some hopping terms like that. But let's say I have D6 symmetry, then this one has the same amplitude that. Okay? And that means that because you have plus one and minus one sign structures, you have complete destructive interference. difference from the Kagome lattice is that you have a bunch of sites in the middle. So you have multiple different standing wave solutions, which generates the many flat bands. And another thing is that this wire is like 80 ohms strong in the experiment, meaning that it's the hopping from here to here will be very suppressed. That means in this system, the flat bands will be realized very stably.
So that's high order like
process. That's going to exponential. Yeah, it's going to generate some flat. That's going to generate some dispersions, but it's going to be exponentially small, right? And so we can pin down the symmetries which protect these structures, which is d6 times time reversers. And I need to the hopping is shorter than the wire length, which is 70 to 80 ohms strong, so at least in these systems. Okay, any other questions? So if you do not understand this argument, and if you are still suspicious about that, I can show you more convincing data where I allow the hoppings which barely cross the domain layers. Then what you see is that the flat bands are gone, and the dispersion of the flat bands is proportional to the size of this. Or, by the way, even if you add that, because I didn't break the crystal symmetries, the band touchings are still there. Or I can break the time reverser, then you see that all the crossings are removed and the flatness is gone. And you can show that all these bands are the churn bands, which carry the churn numbers. Or I can break the crystal symmetries, which is lower than the D6, then you see that the flat bands is all gone. So from these, you can kind of see that D6 and the time reverser and the shortness of the hopping are the key to the flat band. So this honeycomb network is an interesting system which generates the cascade of flat bands, which are protected by symmetries and localities, at least in the quadratic level. So any questions?
So you mentioned earlier that the current compound is a mod insulator,
right?
Correct?
Yeah.
So how important is that? Is this what you talked about now? Does that require this mod insulating?
It doesn't need to be mod insulator.
Does this come out of kind of a non-interacting band structure?
So even if it's mod insulators, the only thing I need is the suppression of the hopping from here to here. And if I have an insulating degree of freedom here, then there, the hopping from here to like that will be suppressed. So all I need is an insulator.
Okay.
Yeah. Any questions?
So then the hopping is actually happening. So it can be nearest neighbor as well as like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But it is constrained to follow the red lines.
No, I allowed like that too. That's fine.
But that part is like insulator.
Yeah, but let's say I have let's say I have a direct hopping from here to here.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's also.
Yeah, yeah, and that's okay to be included. Yeah. Any other questions? So with that, we now ask like, what can you say about the phase diagram where the superconductivity seems to be strongly related with these network systems? So the zeroth order is that because the network system is metallic, so you can guess maybe the metal is enough. But we can ask like, can I do better than this? Maybe flat bands help. So I'm not going to explain too much, but I mean, because this is kind of like elementary things to see. Let's assume that the flat the chemical potential is near the one of the flat bands. And let's say I assume the microscopic interactions like U and V. Then what has been known from that is that if you perform the like mean field calculations, then you already see that the superconducting gap is proportional to linear in the coupling constant, which is different from the usual standard BCS, where the pairing gap is exponentially suppressed. So these flat bands, if the pairing channel is dominant in the interactions, then it can surely enhance the superconducting TCs.
But in a flat band, you also have a strong ferromagnetism tendency.
When you have a repulsive interaction dominant, right? So yeah.
You are having.
Yeah, so I assume that the interaction is attractive.
Attractive.
Right. Yeah. I do not have a handle if it's, I do not have very specific information if it's repulsive or attractive because I took the phenomenological approach here. But at least in the experimental data, it seems like there is no magnetism seen in the material, and it always seems to support the superconductivity. So maybe it's attractive for some reason.
So from behind, you're putting attractive.
Yeah, I just put it in hand. Yeah, at least in the theory. Yes. And you can tune some parameter regimes where the on-site interaction is a little bit repulsive, and the next nearest neighbor is attractive. Then you can get into the D plus ID. But because you have flat bands, actually the D plus ID is kind of nodal, which seems to be unusual compared to the usual Fermi Liquid state. And when the interactions are completely attractive, you get into the S-wave pairing, which is boring trivial state to the parameter people, I think. Yeah. Okay, so so far, the mean field approach is kind of like recoupling approach, right? You assume the quadratic, the hopping is bigger and the interaction is perturbative, so you treat it as the second order effect. But you can take the other limit where the kinetic energy is much smaller than the potential energies. And in this limit, you can take the strong coupling limit where you have kind of like coupled Luttinger liquid. And from that, you can kind of, okay. So before getting there, you can ask, like, how do I know the coupled Luttinger liquid is a good approach? Actually, if you take the Luttinger liquid approach and turn off the interactions, meaning that you have free Fermi limit, then you can generate the band structures like that, where you see the flat bands, and there is a quadratic band touchings, and there are fermions in the middle, which is exactly constant with the tight binding calculations. So it looks like in this network system, the Luttinger liquid is OK.
The couple wire breaks.
No. Why?
So you have that one.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the this stacking, it's that. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. And then with that, if you assume that there is attractive interactions, then you have a spin gap. And the only fluctuating degree freedoms are the superconductivity and the charge dense wave state. And you can kind of argue that the charge dense wave state is suppressed generically. The reason is that when you have one-dimensional wires which are connected to each other, the phase, if the filling is not commensurate, let's say I have incommensurate filling per each wire, then the phase of the charge dense wave states in this connectivity is suppressed. The way to see that is that let's say I compare this site and this site and ask like, what's the phase difference on the charge dense wave or the parameters? And you know that when the charge dense wave propagates along the length L, it receives the phase factor like a 2i KFL, right? And let's say I compare here and here, and along this path, you see that there will be phase factor of that. But if you take the other path, you see this is factor of 4. And if you are not at the commensurate filling, this one is different from that, meaning that the there is a phase of frustrations for the dense wave to develop. But the superconductivity has no such issues, so you can develop the order very well. And I'm not going to get into the details, but there is a trick to solve these coupled wire systems known as interchain main field theory. And the pattern is determined by the Josephson couplings between the wires. When the coupling pattern is repulsive, meaning that the superconducting phases want to have the like pi phase shift between the wires, you get into the D plus ID state. But if you have a regular Josephson coupling, then you get into the S wave superconductors. And these are known to be determined by the nature of the junctions. And when the junctions are insulating, then it's known to develop the pi junctions, meaning that J is positive, and you are getting to the D plus ID. And when the junction region is superconducting or metallic, then it's known to develop just regular S-wave junctions. And yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that when you have a network type connectivity, the superconductivity seems to be enhanced in the weak coupling regions. When you have attractive interactions, if you solve mean field theory, then the TC seems to be enhanced. And then in the strong coupling limit, the competitor of the superconductivity, which is dense wave, seems to be naturally suppressed. So it looks like the superconductivity is a good candidate to develop from these network systems. Any questions? Maybe too trivial. Okay. So you see, I intentionally avoided the commissure filling. So let's see if I can see any interesting physics in the commissure filling. In this case, the charge gap, so dense wave is not suppressed, and they can develop the order very well. And what I'm going to show is that at least in the certain cases, these charge dense wave order can develop the high order topologies, meaning that we are going to see that there is bound state at the junctions or the corners of the boundary. And this is kind of, if you're familiar with the relationship between the Schutz-Ripper-Heger chain and the charge dense wave states, this is kind of like charge dense wave version of the high order topological insulators. That's something you are going to see. So for the simplicity of the argument, let's take the simplest case where I have half filling per each wire so that I can develop the period two dense wave. And the period two dense wave will be look like this. So at least in the in this model system, what you can see is that when the charge dense wave develops, when the junction frustrates like that, you are going to be left with the half charges per spin species. So you can ask like if these are realized in any realistic systems, and actually in the 1T tantalum disulfide, in the commensurate charge density state, the gapped junctions of the domain verse are observed, and people did the STM and the DMFT calculations, and then if you zoom up these domain or regions, what you see is that these are the domain or sites. There seem to be like a period two deformations, and they are met at the junctions. And it looks like there is a local dense wave state peak there. And even though the relation between this to that requires a little bit more work. And this is not the unique instance. But actually, people looked at the MOS2 on top of MOSC2. And you have this kind of like very nice networks of the 1D wires. And these 1D wires are known to experience the metal insulator transitions. And in the insulator regions, it's known to develop some dense waves. And there are a bunch of junctions. And this might be related to that. But yeah, it requires more work, of course. So,
sorry,
yeah.
The junctions you have, the last slide.
Right.
Do I view the junctions as having some half charge or something? Or?
You mean this one?
Yeah, maybe from your last slide.
You mean that?
Yes.
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah, junctions. Yeah. Per spin.
Half charge, Chris.
Right. Right.
Maybe we're going to spin the chart, sorry.
If you can separate them, but in the rear system it's locked. So, I mean.
But if it tracks a spin,
right,
it will be a spin solid. If there is no spin, it's a
right. Yeah, it's a Schutz-Ripper-Heger solid. Yeah. Right, with the Y junction shape. Yeah. So, I know I'm a little bit early, but let me conclude. So, in conclusion, I hope I conveyed the idea that the honeycomb network hosts the cascade of the stable flat bands. which is protected by crystal symmetry and time reverse symmetry and the local limit if you restrict yourself to the quadratic terms. And Honeycomb network, even though I didn't emphasize much, but it can host a lot of topological band searches, essentially because you have a lot of Dirac cones and the quadratic band touchings. And one example I showed you is the high order topological insulators, which is the corner states. And the Honeycomb network can help the superconductivity. And if I compare with the experimental data, then at least in the SCM data, the junction region seem to be very metallic. So it may not be like insulating junctions. So it may prefer to develop the S wave state. Another clue is that the tantalum disulfide in the commensurate charge density state, electron experience a lot of the Coulomb interactions. But at the domainverse where the David stars are relaxed, the electrons seem to experience less interactions. So all in all, my theory at least suggests that the 1T tantalum disulfide maybe likely S wave superconductors. You can compare, it's a DFT calculation. So you can compare the band structure without U, and then you can compare the band structures with the plus U at the domainware states. And you see that it do not change much. Yeah. That's the way I understand. Yeah. And it looks like the effect of a disorder in the flat band seems to be very interesting. Naively, one expects when you have flat band and if the disorder, then you expect to experience the localization immediately. But it looks like the at least in the Troker's paper suggests that if you put the disorders, you don't get the localizations, but you seem to get into the multi-fractor state instead. And there was some questions about 3D characters, and then this one needs more work, but at least at this stage, the 3D characters may not be very important for the superconductivity. So but it still requires a lot of more work. And one may see that all this physics is coming from the network type superstructures. You can ask what's the similarity and difference with the Moiré physics in the twisted materials. And I put this slide to the end because the parameter people will not care about the experimental signatures. But but there are energy spectrums you can directly diagnose from the materials. For example, RPS data seem to see the at least one flat band right below the chemical potential. Even though to see the more flat bands, you need more work. And the transport study can be done, even though it has not been done. And there are some specific behaviors over the thermodynamics, like the specific heat and the susceptibilities. But let me not talk about it. And the last outlook is that in the question that I asked in the end was the similarity or difference from the Moiré physics. And it looks like that when you put the incommensurate potential to any system, then you seem to get the flat band, at least one flat band, which is from the extremum of the band structures. For example, Justin Song's group at Singapore, this is, I think, tungsten diselenide or something like that with some incommensurate potentials. The balance band top becomes very flat and it's well separated from other bands. And the other paper from Ashbin's group that you twisted scale lattice, or I think they twisted scale lattice or rectangular lattice. What you see is that the bands at the top, when you increase twist the systems, you seem to have a very flat band. Look at the scale, 4.0, 4.02, which is extremely flat. And this one is from -5 to 5. And they can keep track how the bandwidth decreases for the extremum of the band. And so I think it's an interesting question that what about other metallic charge dense wear materials, which seem to support the superconductivity? And would these physics may be relevant for those materials? I think, that's all. Thanks.
Something like Anderson's pseudospin representation.
What is Anderson's pseudospin?
Oh, it's just a way to represent the SO3 vector as a two components are as states of conductivity. Third component is CDW. So they form CDW and SK superconductivity form SC2 algebra.
Okay.
So if I think within that approach, is it, I would have thought that if there's a domain wall in the CDW, at the right end domain wall, you would get SK superconductivity.
Right.
A bit like the compound criticality where it affects
one
thing. But is it equivalent to what you're doing, or is it just some that way of thinking?
I guess I think it's different. So I didn't put the super spins and the competing orders directly, for example.
Somehow, in some hidden ways, knows about that.
I think that's an interesting observation, but yeah, but I do not see the direct connection. But I understand what you're trying to say. Maybe that's an interesting way to view or simplify all my work into one sentence, maybe. Yeah.
And this approach you mentioned about couple Luttinger liquids, where you solve them, I did not talk to that, but
I see.
Does the technique work in all, if were wires or Luttinger liquid in some general dimension, let's say 3D or 4D, in high dimensions, does the technique work in general dimensions, this Kivelson thing which you mentioned, I've not thought about it, but.
So this one, is very, so what I talked about, like flat bands and the like superconductor,
we
can talk about it later, but yeah.
A general statement about it.
Yeah, you did not assume those structures, right?
There's a junction of
I think if I have such structure, then the dense wave of the wires will be suppressed generically, and they will favor to develop the superconductivity. And the charge, if the background charge dense wave supports such network structures, then if I put that dense wave and the superconductivity, then that might be the super spin you talked about. But I do not know how to write down or derive it from this scheme.
I was not asking about super spin, I was asking a different question. That's fine.
Right. Yeah, okay, we can talk about it more.
Sure.
Yeah, I do not know the Anderson's work, so yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Any other question? Yeah.
Black bands are susceptible to disordered Anderson localizations.
Yeah.
Already they are localized in some sense.
Right. So, but if you put a disorder, that's the surprising part.
So you have a incommensurate regime where the superconductivity. You expect some randomness in the network itself, network topology. So how will it?
Yeah. So I do not know the answer, and then I thought that was interesting, but I couldn't find any concrete calculation or like you can ask like if the multifractality of the underlying electrons will transfer to the multifractality of superconductivities and so on, but I do not know. Yeah, but that's an interesting question. I want you to.
Maximum TC that is observed in the system
with the in the material.
Yeah,
5 Kelvin-ish. It could be well known at the flat band, but yeah. But who knows, right? Yeah.
So the instances that I know about where they've got a spatially modulated conductivity ordered ground, we sometimes think about that as a pair density wave. Or
if it's a purity, right?
Yeah, it's periodic, and often that could be coupled to a charge density order, right? Is there a way to kind of think about what you've done here? Would it have some equivalence or a way to kind of map onto that kind of picture?
In terms of the
little kind of?
Yeah, maybe in terms of the symmetries, maybe they are related, but the microscopic origins may be very different. For example, like Edoardo's pair dense wave state, Edoardo Fredkin's pair dense wave, you need very strong correlations at the microscopic scale. And the momentum vector of the pair dense wave state is comparable to the microscopic lattice. Here, the texture superconductivity, the size of the superconductor modulation will be much larger, like 100 angstroms and so on. So. But in terms of symmetry, they may be similar. Yeah. I hope it, okay. Okay, other questions? Then, let's finish. And please thank me.